Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten Nordman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nordman.
Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Brusten Nordman across ESPN Wisconsin. My name is Ben Brust alongside the Packer backer, Wisconsin fan extraordinaire, Kyle Wallace. Say some, Kyle.
Oh!
Maybe he will. There we go.
Oh! Getting over the hump today on Hump Day. Hump Day!
Haven't heard
nothing
that one in a
like
while.
The lame Kyle recycled joke. Every
I used
Wednesday.
Hump Day before.
What's worse? Case of the Mondays, oh, it's Monday. Hump Day, Thirsty Thursday.
Freaky Friday.
Feel good
Freaky
Friday.
Freaky Friday.
What's
feel
the
good
worst
Friday.
Moniker?
I don't.
Hump Day's got to be the
hump
worst.
Hump Day's the worst.
Hump Day's the worst.
Got to get over the hump today.
Come
on, man. You're more creative than that.
Because Thirsty Thursday is fun, and Feel Good Friday makes you feel good. Hump Day.
It's Hump Day. We got to get over the hump.
We are. I don't know what y'all want me to do. Wacky Wednesday.
Yeah, change it up, baby.
I don't know. I feel like I haven't used Hump Day before, but I'm sure I have. I might.
It's been a while.
Literally,
it's been a while,
like,
but
over the last
it.
Year and a half, Brad, at least 30 times.
Yeah. I don't know about 30, but for sure over 10. For sure
just
over
embellish 10. With me, damn it. Brad,
yeah, don't embellish me.
I'm committed to the truth.
Honest A.
Super Bowl 50 runner-up. We can be honest about how poor he has had in winning championships.
Yes.
State championship runner-up, Rose Bowl twice runner-up, AFC championship game loser, and Super Bowl 50 runner-up, Brad Nordman. Good day.
That's all of them. Good day to you, gentlemen. All I'm thinking about is who will be the Super Bowl loser. That's who I care most about next Sunday. I don't care about the winner. I care about the loser.
You want to know that everyone who lost is feeling the exact same pain that you felt.
Yes, I need to share my pain. It's the only way to deal with it.
All due respect to either Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts, I think they're feeling a little bit different than Brad Nordman did.
Yeah.
Why is that? I mean,
their pockets are
a
little deeper.
Because are you saying they're going to feel better?
Well,
or
no,
worse,
because I don't think, Brad, you left that Super Bowl going, yeah, that was my fault.
Yeah, that's
did you just
true.
ding yourself?
That's correct.
I mean, there's truth to it, but he still felt sad.
Yeah.
You think Cam is still thinking about it like you do?
Yeah.
Let me put it this way.
He'd be a Hall of Famer.
Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Cam Newton, all of those star quarterbacks that have played in Super Bowls have enough money to not have to budget for blinds. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. See us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. I am severely disappointed with Brad Nordman because, you know, hey, we've talked about this way too much and way too often about how cheap he is, how he's frugal, how he has the Nordman estate with the long driveways, the lodge room, the 18 rooms, the kitchen that is bigger than Kyle and I's homes put together.
Yeah, but the lawn care committee led by
Handyman
Nate,
Steve.
Guy. Handyman Steve was there today. And you just
course.
Left.
Oh,
Lexi
my goodness.
Said.
I cool. need to call a handyman.
What happened now?
You might need Handyman Steve.
Gotta get some stuff taken care of.
Yeah, you know what sucks?
Homeownership.
Homeownership sucks.
It sucks.
Our bathroom on the first floor, when you try to turn the knob to flush, I didn't know that it was connected to a piece that lifts up the thing that makes
it
flush.
Do
I buy that and I have to connect it with a piece? Like, what?
No, you just got to go get a new one. They're pretty cheap if you don't know.
Yeah, it didn't seem like a big problem. I was just like, of course.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Other thing.
Yeah, it's another thing.
I pay people to do that. I'm not dealing with putting my hands in that water and doing all that.
That's a quick project, though.
Cool. That's quick for somebody else.
About putting your hand in toilet water?
Yeah.
Because I'm genuinely serious.
But that's not toilet water.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad, because I have been going number one. I just choose not to go number two down there. And I'll just stick my hand in the back of the toilet and lift the thing manually to flush it. And I'll just go wash my hands.
That's not the same as putting, because that water is coming in fresh from either the city or the well.
Yeah, I just don't.
It's just
trust.
Like whatever's floating around in that.
Anything
top
around a toilet, I don't really trust.
Chef Ed chimes in. Kyle, that's an ugly shirt. I agree, Chef Ed.
Oh, you a lie. I got so many compliments today.
It's a bold choice.
Give us your thoughts on Kyle's shirt on YouTube. At ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison.
It's me paying homage to Steve in Blue's Clues.
It's like a gender reveal.
You got a lot of
Blue's
Clues.
Hey, yeah. Which one am I? Am I a boy or a girl?
You tell us.
Well,
look down there. I'm pretty much a man there.
Okay. So, Brad, did you finally do something we've been asking you to do? You put up black garbage bags in your room because you don't have blinds. You couldn't sleep.
Guys, big moments occurring at the Nortman Estate. Lexi, the first wife, the first lady of the Nortman Estate.
The first wife.
She is my first
wife. First and only.
First and only important moniker there for qualification. We looked at each other and said, you know what? We've been putting off too many things on the Nortman Estate. Before long, estate lists can run up, so we got to start knocking things out of the Nortman Estate to-do list. So that started with, we got some countertops in, we're starting to change things over. One of the things is, we got to finally get blinds, okay? We finally said, enough's enough. So we waited until a budget site was 50% off.
Oh, wow.
So we found a place that was 50% off. You measure it yourself.
Oh, no.
You plug in the measurements, and then you go ahead and order them.
Oh, no. This is a disaster waiting to happen.
So two nights ago, Lexi and I are in bed, and we're like, okay, we just got to finally order it because it was the last day of the sale. 50% off. Now's the time to do it. And so I go measure all the different windows. There's like 8 different windows we're getting blinds for, right? And so, you know, order, okay, order.
Well, there's no way that's the whole estate.
Those are the only ones we've decided need blinds.
Oh my God!
There's plenty of other.
It was 50% off.
If I were to get shades for the whole Nortman Estate, it'd be 200 windows. It'd be crazy.
God, not possible. 200 windows.
That's
probably he ain't got 200 windows.
No, that's too many. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. So we get them for multiple bedrooms. Get them for the playroom for the kids in the future. Get them for a couple things like that, and then we get to the master bedroom, right? And so we start plugging them in. And we want a specific type. We got Roman shades for all those, which are great, but we wanted sleek, modern shades. Very cool shades for the Nortman Estate, for the master bedroom. And we plug them in, and the window's too big. They said, the window's too big. You can't possibly put these modern, long roller shades in there. The window's too big. So I said, oh, hell, what are we supposed to do now? So we pushed it off. We said, okay, we got shades for all the rest of them. But for the master bedroom, we need to go back to the drawing board because the windows were just too big.
I want to applaud you for getting blinds, but the master bedroom is the place where you need them. How do they live? I walk around butt naked all the time in my room. How do you survive?
So we did. We have some temporary curtains we put up on the big window, the ultra big window.
And it's not... Black garbage bags.
And we have one. So that in our master bedroom, if you want to picture the master bedroom of Brad and Lexi Nortman, you've got the huge window.
It's a window the size of the window behind you here on the stream.
It's about that
on
big.
ESPN
about
One.
That big.
Damn, that's
about
a big ass window.
I mean, not that quite that big, but almost. But it's actually not that big of a difference.
Oh my gosh, in your room? What are y'all
it's
looking at?
It's probably from like that to like.
Can you give
like
us
here.
An example for the radio audience?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard people are listening to us. It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't know, 7
It's basically
feet?
10 yards. It's basically trying to get a first down. First and five, and seven.
I measured.
First and seven. Jeez Louise.
I mean, I would say it's
holding
at least,
penalty on a first down run.
Yeah,
so, you know, a couple yards past the first down.
It's definitely,
brought back.
If it's a third down, it's a passing situation. Okay, that's the best way I can put it. It's a passing situation. So that one, we put this massive temporary curtain on it, but then we have another small standard size window on the other side of the room that there is still one lone trash bag up. So one trash bag has survived. All the rest have been tossed, and blinds are on the way, except for in the master bedroom where it's probably most important. But it's back to the drawing board. I don't know what we're going to do. We can't find blinds that are big enough that can match the size of our window. It's a struggle. It's a struggle, boy.
It's not a struggle. You just are being cheap.
When we got 50% off. It was pretty good.
If you play in the NFL for 6 years, are you allowed to say you're living in a struggle and being as frugal and financially responsible as a financial advisor would post-career? Because I think the word struggle, you know, I use an example of one that comes to mind of maybe somebody who's an MVP for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, I think he went through a struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you're going through a struggle right
Giannis's
now.
Giannis's struggle and my struggle are sort of like the same. It's the same struggle marching to a different beat. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Brad, this is shameful. Again, I want to say congratulations on the blinds, but you didn't finish the job. Finish the job,
I can't
man.
Get credit for doing 80%.
No! You missed the most important room, your castle, your kingdom, the place that your queen lays her head. She has to look at trash bags. She has to look at temporary blinds because you were being too cheap. You should have just said, you know what? We save 50% off
online for
Let's
all these
use that to make Let's, our master bedroom at the estate
that's all it
look
is.
Really, really
Can
good.
Can I get credit for going all in but getting 50% off?
You didn't go all
that's
in.
That's pretty great.
You did not go all in.
Almost
go,
all in.
No, exactly.
It's like
almost ain't good enough.
Almost all in is not all in.
Kyle, it's like when you went into Lake Michigan. It was almost all in. It was like to the shoulders.
That's actually a really good point.
That's the
I was going to say it's like when Strofe and I are
level.
At Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and I say I'm going all in and Strofe looks over at my roulette machine and he sees, yes, there is no more to bet if Ben loses this spin. Fair, Strofe?
Yeah, you've done that a time or two.
That would be all in. So we're almost there, boys. One, it's a small trash bag left. Do I get some credit for that?
No, just stop asking the question. The answer is no.
I feel pretty good about it,
I think you get 20%
credit. 20%? Even though I blinded
out
80%?
I'll give him 30% credit because there's still lots of rooms without blinds. He had to get the 50% off and then he didn't even take care of his master bedroom. It feels like an incomplete turn.
He missed
turn
the
F.
most important room.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for lack of trying.
No.
We ran into a struggle that we are now experiencing hardship.
Brad, they have custom blinds. And here's the thing that
How's
I'm nervous.
How's the market, Brad?
How's what's market?
Yeah, the
stock
market.
Oh, it's ripping, baby.
Yeah, it's ripping.
It's good. The Norman portfolio is healthy.
Well,
hypocrite.
I'm very confused, though, too, Brett. Because for you, I usually thought you were a planner, a strategizer.
Yeah.
I know you're not a bad handyman, but I know you're capable. But you really trust your own measurements. Why don't you have somebody come out and measure? You get the measurements, and then you input those. You measured yourself. Do you know how to do that correctly?
No. Yeah. No, it's
what do you
length,
mean, yeah.
It's
you,
length
you're
and
wrong.
Width.
But
and
like
they,
sometimes
they
it's inside,
it
outside.
Yeah, inside. Okay. Doing inside. Oh. I know how to measure it.
Inside. If you're saying we're doing inside, trust me, I don't think that's the lingo.
I will say, too, the elder statesman of the Nortman family, Bill Nortman, came and helped me just to make sure I didn't do it wrong.
Okay, there it is.
But here's one thing.
You solicited some help.
It's like you're playing chess with these people because you call them up and you say, okay, it's going to be 80 inches across. That's the measurement. And then they say, okay, that sounds good. We take off a fourth of an inch on both sides. I'm like, wait, why? And they said, well, we don't want you to get it and not to fit. But I'm like, but I want the light rays not to go through. I want this blackout. Like, but that's what we do. So I'm like, okay. Well
that's what happens when you go get a 50% from a blinds company. I'm done with you. I'm done with you.
So
I'm done
they
with
take
you.
Off a half an inch. I add back on a quarter inch.
All right.
This is going to be a disaster.
Nah,
it's going to look janky.
I refuse to even bring up blinds ever again on the show because he told us today that he got blinds and he actually didn't get blinds, so he lied to us.
I will make a special announcement when we finally get blinds for the master bedroom. It's the last frontier.
But how are you
cheaper than
me?
It's the last frontier of the Norman Estate.
I'm going to go spy on them. I'm gonna go get a scope.
You won't be able to see through the trash bags.
That's true.
I'll put in a special light.
A
nice bright light.
Yeah, the last frontier. We're going to get there, boys.
I tell you what. So on Monday, Jason Wilde joined Kyle Bruston-Ortman for his one of two appearances on our show. He had some interesting takes as to how the Packers could find success in the playoffs, and we continue to have these conversations about how close they are to winning a Super Bowl. Mark Tauscher joined us yesterday. Big goot stand. Today on Wilde and Tausch, Mark Tauscher has done it. He has made me mad. He is cherry picking. He is the biggest Packers toad I have ever heard in my entire life. I'll tell you why Tausch doesn't know ball. Next.
This is Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
I was like, it's the 4-1-4 hour at 4.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like the kid who like got picked on the sports team. I was like, oh, you want me? No way. Because all last week, it was so much fun to do that. And I was like, well, but I guess it's back to Kyle doing it now. When you said, want to do it with me? I was like, oh, yeah, let's do it.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Nation on this Wednesday, Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman with Strofe running the show. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. See us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. This morning on Wilde and Tausch, 9 and noon across these very stations. To no one's surprise, Tausch does what Tausch does. Finds every reason to find the positive, which I think is a good thing, but he's going too far now.
Ribbit.
We are all going too far with what I'm about to hear with all of you
Ribbit.
From Wilde and Tausch earlier this morning. Strofe, all you.
the good news as a Packer fan and why somebody, oh, how far away are they? Oh, they got a long window. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, cute. Our defense made big strides.
No doubt.
Our defense was good enough this season to win. Our offense didn't get it done when the money was on the table.
I cannot sit here and listen to Tausch say that and then use the evidence in front of me outside of a playoff game to be like, you know what? Yeah, the defense was good enough to get us to a Super Bowl. Do we forget in week one they gave up 34 points to the Philadelphia Eagles? Do we forget in week five they gave up 31 to the Minnesota Vikings? 24 against the Lions? Sure, we'll give them a little bit of a break there, but at the same time, there was plenty of snow and bad weather on the ground. Then you go to Ford Field. 34 you give up to the Lions, and then you play the Vikings again, and you give up 27. Did the defense take strides? Abso-freaking-lutely. But how am I supposed to use the sample size that we all saw in the five games of the regular season in which they lost to teams with a better record than them and then say, oh, because the 22-12 game, the defense played well against the Eagles, that this defense was good enough to win a Super Bowl? We're all talking and wishing for a pass rusher right now because we know the defense has made strides, but isn't good enough. Were they good enough in that game against Philadelphia? Yes. But the narrative that the defense this past season, they like, this is blasphemy.
Ben, I'm right there with you. Look, this defense did improve. It's better than it was last year, and it's a quality defense. It's good. But we can't say this is a championship defense. We can't say this is an absolutely great defense. Huge holes on the defensive line. Secondary without Jair. Even the linebackers, very hit or miss, particularly without Edger and Cooper. Because you're right, Ben. I had all these games written down to where they got thrashed against the good opponents of the NFC in the regular season. That doesn't include the Jaguars. Remember the Jaguar game?
Yeah, and I guess my point was, is I just, if we're going to compare to the playoffs, yeah. I wanted to compare to the playoff teams that they lost to and say, yes, did they have a good performance? But as we have talked about, and as we've seen week by week, the level of competition gets higher. The points scored continue to get higher, actually, throughout the playoffs. And so, yes, was it a great performance? Did they keep them in the game? Yes, we can give them their flowers. Was the offense bad? Yes, but by no means necessary. Can I sit here and lie to the audience and say that I believe what Tausch is saying, that the defense is you know, right there, and this year they did enough, and they could have done enough? No!
Well, and real quick, and you're putting it on the offense. I think the offense, the defense, the coaching, the personnel, everything is aligned with exactly how they ended the season. They were a wild card team. They had double-digit wins. They lost in the first round to a team that's going to the Super Bowl. It just seems like everything lines up to everything is good, not great. Now, most franchises would be excited about that, but the defense was good, not great. The offense, most of the season, good, not great. Coaching, good, not great. Personnel, good, not great. So to say, oh, this defense is championship level, this is not the Philly defense. This is not the Baltimore Ravens defense in 2000. This is not a defense where you say, oh, boy, am I scared about them. They're quality. They're good. They're not going to carry you all the way to a championship. And they both need to do their part to get better if they do want to be championship level next year.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a sham here by Tausch. And how much I do love me some Tausch. And I like that Jason Woolley's also on that Green Bay Packers defense train. I enjoy that. But by saying that, he's basically saying that the Packers defense can carry the offense to a championship. And we know that isn't true, right? And he's allowing what we saw in the playoffs to dictate how he feels about the entire body of work. We know the pass rush wasn't there. The forced turnovers weren't there. When I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, what have they done? Their defense against the Green Bay Packers, special teams, carried them through that game. The game against the second game when they played against the Rams, their defense forced some turnovers in big moments for them. They carried that team. And even against the Commanders, they forced some turnovers and forced some stops, and that helped carry them in that game. That's what a defense does. A defense puts the offense in as many positions to have great chances to score. The Packers defense has not been able to do that throughout the playoffs. And the thing that I don't like about this, and I think I do agree, the Packers defense is taking steps in the right directions. But when you look at the Packers' last four playoff games, you would think that the Packers defense wasn't terrible.
For sure. They put up some good performances.
They only allowed 22 points against the Eagles, so that was enough to win. Against the Cowboys, we know what that game was. The
Packers defense did a good job early on. The 32 points they scored, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I'm with
late.
You. That's how the Packers would like. That's how we as Packer fans looked at them coming back against the Vikings.
24 points held against the 49ers last year. Oh, the defense did a good job. Oh, 10 points, and they didn't even allow a touchdown against the 49ers. Man, that defense was championship. Hell no, that's false. That's a shame. It's not true. It's just not true. The defense could not carry the offense. The defense did not do enough because the defense didn't have the body of work through the season, because the defense was going to need to have a pass rush at some point. The defense is going to need to get more turnovers in a big moment at some point. And we can't trust this defense to get stops when it truly matters. So, no.
800
is not good enough.
990-3776 in the Carbless Talking text line. Are you with us or Tausch? Tausch saying this defense was good enough to take him to the Super Bowl. Because another thing that I want to get to here is Jason Wilde. Jason Wilde joined us on Monday. Jason Wilde joined Homer on the Homer Hour with John Anderson yesterday. And Jason is now talking about, as we've been trying to figure out what the gap is from the Packers to other Super Bowl teams. And he says, the biggest thing that I've been noticing is the teams that are winning, they're not beating themselves. They're playing mistake-free football. Guess what? It's easier said than done. You know how you prove that you can play mistake-free football? Is you do it consistently in the regular season, and then you have a higher probability when the lights are shining bright in the playoffs that you do play mistake-free football. Like, the Chiefs, they're not beating themselves. The Eagles' recipe, they're not beating themselves. And what do we talk about all season long? Drops, penalties, interceptions early. Like, the Packers had given us enough reason to say, yeah, they're not going to win a Super Bowl because they are going to beat themselves. And the offense didn't show up. So, like, I'm just confused as to why we're trying to figure out. Maybe they can still be close. We can still talk about how they just need some pieces. I'm just very confused as to why the conversation post-Eagles game was Matt LaFleur this, Tucker Kraft saying that the team, you know, needs to wake up and they can feel what was brewing. And now we're like, oh, everything's good after that, right?
I think everything isn't good, but you don't like the way the season finished. But when you kind of get your emotions away from it, because obviously the day after the game, the week after the game, fans are still disappointed. We're disheartened. We feel like we left stuff on the field. But I guarantee you, the way Tucker Kraft feels today versus how he felt a couple days after the game is different.
I'm sure it is. But I'm hearing Wilde and Tausch talk about this defense in a different way than I think we all would have expected, just based off one playoff game against the Super Bowl, now, you know, NFC champion representative Eagles.
Well, in the ultimate litmus test to, do you think your defense was championship caliber, was, do you think we should just run it back? If you think we should just run it back and say, you know what, as long as we just bring back everybody who was the year before, then we're going to be all good. And nobody feels like that. We look at multiple levels of both the D-line, the linebackers, and the secondary and think, you know what, the Packers can improve there. If I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, I look at that defense and say, listen, all we got to do is run it back. Let's just bring everybody back. We don't need to make any crazy changes. We're rolling. I don't feel like that about the Packers. I don't think Tausch or Jason would feel that way about the Packers either. If you felt like all we got to do is run it back with the same personnel, then yeah, then you feel like you have a championship caliber defense. But nobody feels that way about this defense. They're good, not great. And that showed up in many games throughout the season when you played against marquee opponents.
Alex Strove has a little angry Packer backer face right now. What we got going on in that brain?
It's not angry, because I don't disagree with that part that Brad just laid out, right? Like, yes, the pass rush wasn't elite. Nobody's going to disagree with that. Could they use an improvement at corner without, you know, having Jair Alexander likely on the roster next year? Of course. But I'm Team Tausch here.
Of course you are. You're a toad.
I'm not, but it's not.
Press the button. Press the button.
It's not a toad.
Press the button.
Are you going to bully me into a cop?
No, I'm just saying. You did it for me. You did it for Tausch. You got to do it for yourself.
Reddit.
Yeah,
Reddit.
That's you. There's Reddit. Strophy talking.
No, I think the point is, Ben started this argument by laying out the scores of the regular season in which the Packers lost. But the thing that was ignored throughout those scores is that in the Chicago game where they allowed 24, 7 of those were special teams. 7 more of those were a fumble where they only needed 21 yards to score a touchdown.
I didn't mention the Chicago game.
Well, you laid out every game they lost, right?
No, I laid out the games they lost to the teams that had better records than them, which would be a good indicative of what they're going to do in the playoffs. and having one good game in the playoffs does not take away give me confidence that this team could carry them to the Super Bowl based off one performance.
Let's not fail to acknowledge, though, right? 31 to the Vikings in September was a game in which Jordan Love threw three interceptions in the first half and allowed that the opposing offense 10 yards to score or a pick six against
that's great.
Detroit.
Elite offenses still would have been able to find a way to hold them to more field or elite defenses would have held them to more field goals. You know, like that's the difference
well,
to me.
Well, you can't really hold a team to a field goal when you're throwing pick sixes. Two of this year. So I think this falls much more on Jordan Love and the offense's shoulders than it does the defense.
No one's saying that that's not the case. The offense was not good enough against Philly, but it's not fair to say that this defense was good enough to get them to the Super Bowl based off the body of work that they had in the regular season and one game in the playoffs.
Is this a championship?
Top five in scoring.
Is this a championship defense?
However
you define that.
But they're close.
That's great. That's all I'm saying is they weren't a championship defense this year.
They're closer than the offense is.
Oh.
Nah.
That's something.
Nah. They're not closer than the offense is.
What did the offense show you this year that makes you go, wow, that's a championship offense?
I mean,
Josh Jacobs?
The offense was consistent
that
for
it?
The most.
That's it.
Again, throughout this season, the offense, though they had some down first halves, overall, I think they were more consistent than the defense.
So you trust
Baloney.
You trust
really?
Halfley, the D-Rush, and D-line. I'll include McKinney and all those guys against
I think
LaFleur
the defense
and Love
on paper
Josh
right
Jacobs.
Now is closer, yes.
Wow.
Love needs to in terms of what we saw this year, Love was completely inconsistent.
He was.
The first half of the season, he turned the ball over, made erratic decisions. I still think he's going to be a really good quarterback in this league, and that's not to say he can't make a vast improvement from what he was this year, but the defense was so much improved from a year ago with Joe Barry this year. Now, again, that's not me saying there's no issues. They need to improve the pass rush. That was a disaster this year. They need to fill in some cornerbacks, right? Jair's likely not on this roster. Your defense isn't very good if Keyshawn Nix is the best corner. That's just how it is. But out of what we saw this year, I like what we saw out of the defense better than the offense.
800-990-3776. The debate can roll on, Kyle. The debate can roll on. I see you got a lot of thoughts brewing.
Yeah.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talking text line. It's Kyle Bruss and Norman across ESPN Wisconsin. Tausche made a pretty good strong statement that he believes in this defense and what they showed against Philly and what they could have continued to do in the playoffs. I disagree with it. Want to hear your thoughts. 800-990-3776. We'll hear from Tausche again and get into this conversation because you brought up a great question, right? At the end of the day, you're saying you trust the defense and that they're closer than the offense. I don't know if many people will agree with that. And I see why you make that argument. But 1 year with Halfley versus 2 years with sample size with LaFleur and Love, that's where the debate gets a little iffy because you can still use data points from 2023 if you would like. We'll hit this. Coming up next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
The comments were so mean, but they also were kind of funny.
Wait, I didn't see the comments.
They said popcorn back in middle school must have been tough.
Please don't ping me.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Let's go!
I do want to replay some audio from Mark Tauscher on Woolley and Tausch earlier from 9 to noon across these very stations. But before we do that, I got to check my wallet to see if I have any cash to bet at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. And it's empty. I have no cash.
You're joking.
I wanted to hold on to Alex Strofe's wallet till 4:30.
He's just a puppy, though.
To do this in best bets.
Sad
puppy. And that's exactly what I was going to say. He looks like a lost puppy the last 45 minutes that I knew we wouldn't be able to do a show.
Hold on. Before we get to this, I will get to the fact you've had my wallet and I'm irritated. Can you please just let me know if our office administrator's in on this?
No.
Okay, because she is called security for the building.
Let me tell you something about security in this building. They're useless.
They ain't going to do anything.
Useless.
Okay, we'll put it on our radar.
So we have a Walgreens in our building, and I ran there to get a drink earlier, and I was like, did I leave it there? Did I drop it on the way back? You've had it the whole time.
The entire time.
He's stressed. You were. He's been so worried.
I've been worried about him.
I felt horrible.
I got to call off the dogs. Did you know this?
Yeah.
You're a jerk. Did you know this?
Of course I
You're
knew.
A jerk. I already knew you were a jerk. This is not surprising.
Strofe, it's just your wallet.
It's just a wallet, bro.
Give it to me. Let me see it. You have nothing, and you have
There's no money.
A North and South Seafood Smokehouse card.
Great Q&A there last night with Kelly Sheffield.
You got a picture of your girlfriend with a dog, and you have your ID. Like, bro, everything in here is replaceable.
It's replaceable.
There's no money in here. Nothing of value is in here, man.
Yeah, but do you know the hassle of ordering a new ID, a new credit card, a new debit card, a new health insurance card?
Yeah,
life insurance card. Who carries that around?
You carry your life insurance card?
He's still
like
defeated
the card
right
you pay
now.
For medicine.
Oh, yeah.
You still look like you are...
Health insurance.
I've known deep down that it was going to pop up. But I literally just sent a text in the break. I was like, this is going to get to a point where I have to rifle through a trash can. And that's as low as it gets.
When you had said, I threw the Walgreens bag in the trash, I looked at Brad and I was like, I might need to end this.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be like a first segment.
Where was it?
It was literally right under this chair.
Okay, because so sometimes...
This is the second time that I picked up your wallet. And this
sometimes
time,
it falls out of my back pocket.
This was me telling you that you need to be more responsible with your things.
Are you going to change
this
the location of it now? No longer in your back pocket? No, maybe front pocket? A little more secure.
It's probably bad for your posture, too.
Yeah.
How do y'all do that? You got to have a bony booty to do that.
But front pocket, I've got a phone. Booty. I've got keys. I've got nicotine pouches. Like, I've got so much in my front pockets already.
Maybe one of those needs
maybe
to
you should get a new wallet, because that thing looks like my dad's from 1995.
What do you guys have, like a money clip?
Nah.
I've got a wallet.
I keep her thick like you.
Yeah, mine's pretty thick, too.
Oh, you guys are all
lame. So you're the judgmental one.
Yeah, I got money in here, too. I've been distraught.
You're really rude.
Teaching you a lesson to not lose your wallet.
No.
That's how you want to spin it?
Yeah, it's not a spin. I'm so sick of picking up after you.
You do need to be a little bit more responsible. I'm one to talk because I'm currently lost some of my diamonds, my jewelry around this mug.
You did?
Excuse me?
Yeah, it fell out my pocket. I don't know what happened to it. Might be in the car. Oh, like last Tuesday. Early in the morning.
Painful.
So I'm with Struff. I know how he feels.
So Struff, go ahead and send a message to the team administrator. Call off the dogs. Wallet is found. Man, see, this is my point.
It should be a thank you to you.
I asked him before the show started at 2 o'clock. I said, are you going to be good or are you going to be thinking about this wallet the entire show? And you said, no, I'm going to be good. And now 30 minutes later, I'm finding out that you sent the whole... like security team at the office building to look for your wallet
during our show.
Yeah.
While he's supposed to be focused in producing our show.
I sent one text. I was like, "Hey, just let me know if my wallet is found upstairs." That was all. Was it during the break or was it during our show?
And then the entire first segment, he was rethinking where he's been. Yes. I know that face.
And then I went through the process of, okay, I better freeze my cards just in case somebody gets it. So I froze my credit card and my debit card.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Well,
you need to stop spending.
You need to stop spending.
Going broke.
Yeah, I actually would have done him a favor if he canceled his debit credit and he had no cash, you know, frozen pizza and mac and cheese tonight.
How'd you know that wasn't already on the menu?
Because apparently you've been more domesticated recently.
Are you more relieved or angry?
Relieved. Fully relieved. Thanks, Ben. Good. You know what? This is a good lesson. I'll learn from this. I will grow from this. I'm still a young pup, you know, just getting going in this world. You guys are like older brothers of sorts. So this is a good lesson. You know, it was a physical, right? Like your older brother, Ben, you had older brothers growing up
Put me in the scissors cut, they called it.
Right.
Both legs crossed me in between the legs and I couldn't get out.
Yeah, the Bret Hart sharpshooter, I think, was his finisher in the WWF.
It was a sharpshooter.
Yeah, you know, I got some of those growing up. This is better than a noogie or a swirly. This is like a real life lesson that I can grow and learn from. So thank you for this.
You are welcome. Let's hear from Mark Tauscher earlier on Wildy and Tausch as we have a caller who wants to chime in as well as a couple texters. Because, Strofe, you added a wrinkle into this conversation. We have a poll up there on Twitter at KBN ESPN. We'll get to the poll. We'll get to the reaction. But first, here's what Tausch had to say about the defense at the end of the year.
The good news as a Packer fan and why somebody, how far away are they? Oh, they got a long window. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, cute.
Blah, 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 blah.
Our defense made big strides.
No doubt.
Our defense was good enough this season to win. Our offense didn't get it done when the money was on the table.
Now, maybe I've taken a little bit far. He just said to win.
Good enough to win.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was his way of saying they were good enough to, you know, to win playoff game X, which was the Eagles. But I took that as he's given that like a little bit more credence to like, they were good enough all year. They showed us all year they were good enough to win big games. five big games in the regular season, they gave him an average of like 29.5 points per game.
Yeah.
And that's 24 given up in a snow game at Lambeau Field against the Lions. So that being said, which is more championship caliber, the offense or the defense? That's on Twitter at KBNESPN. We'll go to the Carpus Talk and Text on with Brian and Madison. Where are you at with this, Brian?
Tausch is 110% right. It was good enough to win that game that Eagles just set all the records last game, and we shut them down besides three plays. If Jordan Love played, like, okay, we would have won that game. We don't have Charles Woodson. We don't have Clay Matthews. That defense played more than enough to win that game. That was on Jay Love and Matt LaFleur.
How much do we bring into the equation that Jalen Hurts
hadn't played for 3 weeks?
For a month, and he was clearly rusty. I think that's something. Tausch said they made big strides. That's true. They were good enough to win certain games. That's true. But I can't get behind that they're closer to championship caliber than the offense. I think that Philadelphia offense was a bit out of sorts with Jalen Hurts being out for so long. And Saquon, they actually did a pretty good job of bottling up Saquon, but I'm not sure that was Philadelphia's best shot. Was the offense worse than the defense on that day? Yes, they were. The defense was better than the offense against the Philadelphia Eagles. But if we're going to take this as a whole and think about personnel, think about ceiling, think about coaching, think about what do we really hang our hat on, I don't know how you can't choose the offense.
Well, I can tell you right now on Twitter at KBNESPN, which Packers unit is closer to championship level, the offense or the defense? 63% of votes right now are offense. Excuse me, our defense. 37% are offense.
Yeah, I think we're short-sighted. I understand that the offense
is a prisoner of the moment. Some palms.
Yeah, the offense didn't play great in the last two games of the season, but we have to remember that offense ripped off multiple games of 30-plus games. This offense, for the most part, in this year, it was a high-scoring offense. It was a high-powered offense. Now, was it a championship-caliber offense? Probably not, but you're talking about a team that did well, scored well, so I just don't understand how we are prisoners of the moment to think that this defense could carry us to a championship. That's just not factual whatsoever. And even hearing Strofe say before the break is that basically if you think the defense could have carried this offense to a championship, that means it's 2 minutes left in the game. You're up by four or you're up by three and you want the defense on the field. That's what you're saying. You're saying you trust this Green Bay Packer defense to get off the field. And ha! That's a joke because we ain't seen that. Everybody knows if you got asked a scenario, would you rather be up three or up two with 2 minutes left in the team driving, or would you rather be down two with the Packers offense on the field to drive it? You probably want the Packers offense on the field because you feel more confident in the fact that they're going to get the job done and at least get you a field goal.
That's the thing that maybe Ben is even bringing up is in those moments where it really matters, whether it be playing top competition, again, more than just the wild card game, playing top competition or the gotta have a stop moment, they usually don't perform at a championship level in those moments, which is why I would agree with you, Kyle. I would prefer the offense to be on the field in the gotta have it moment.
Even going back to the Chicago Bears game, the offense put us in a position to win that football game. Matt LaFleur ruined it. And our defense got out there, and I think it was play calling that put them in a bad position. But overall, the defense still allowed some points in the end in that game, right? They still could not get off the field against the Chicago Bears in the last game of the season. So for me, I'm not ready to trust this defense, but I do feel good about the trajectory and the direction that the defense is going. I will say that.
Josh and Kenosha, 800-990-ESPN on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Which is more championship caliber right now, the offense or defense?
Based on this year, I would go defense. And that might surprise people, but in the playoff game, they stepped up and did what they had to do. Say what you want about the regular season. Compare this year's team to the 2010 team statistically and see if that's good enough to win a championship. The offense let you down. LaFleur and Love absolutely choked. And to Strofe, try some cargo pants, man. Side pockets are great for wallets.
There it is. Attaboy, Josh. A little bit of advice to not lose your wallet again.
You think I could rock cargo pants?
No,
yeah,
not at all.
Thank you for the advice.
Not a cargo pants guy.
Appreciate
it. But it would be handy for you to not lose your wallet. Brad, tell us how you've been winning money finally and what code to use.
Oh, I will tell you because KBN Nation, you're going to want to know this for two reasons. One, boy, these sports games are getting so much more entertaining with the Sleeper Picks app. And not only that, you want to win a little extra money like I've been winning a little bit extra money. You're going to want to download the Sleeper Picks app and enjoy taking all those opportunities to win money. Here's how you do it. Download the Sleeper app today and you just pick more or less, on at least two different players in their projected stats. If you're right, you can win up to 100 times your money. I've been loving doing this with the Bucks games, all these NFL games. The big game is coming up in a week and a half on Sunday, and you know I'm going to be putting in several different ones because I feel like I know where this is going to go, and I want that opportunity to make real money on my selections. Here's how you do it with Sleeper Picks. For limited time, Sleeper has a special offer. New users have to just do one $5 play. That's it, one $5 play, and you're going to receive $55 in free entries. Where else can you get that kind of deal so that you can keep the selections going and opportunities to win more money, and you're enjoying it all along the way? Here's how you do it. Download the Sleeper app today and use code BRAD, B-R-A-D. You know that's my name. And when you do that, you'll get $55 in free entries when you play just $5. That's code BRAD with the Sleeper app. Enjoy Sleeper app as I've been. Must be 18 years or older. Promo code, locations, and other restrictions apply. Minimum deposit $25. See terms of use for details. Please play responsibly. Call 1-800-426-2537 for help.
Day three of Ben Bruss' wish list for Goody and the Green Bay Packers to help make this a championship caliber team coming up next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
Do you wash your shins in the shower? We shower from hair to kneecap. The rest then drip down our legs to our feet.
Doesn't work that way.
No, it does work that
way.
No.
What does the poll say?
34% don't wash their shins.
That is shockingly low. KBN Nation, you're better than that.
Yeah, it sounds like we have a lot of disgusting human beings on this planet.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Let's make the Green Bay Packers Super Bowl caliber, eh? Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, Strophy running the show, 800-990-3776. It is day three of giving five wishes from my beautiful brain as to how the Packers can become championship caliber. Wish one, spin the block with Tay. Wish two, trade one of your first-round picks for a proven pass rusher. Wish three, come up next.
And now, another look at Ben Bruss' off-season wish list. Wish number three.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Ben.
Do you remember being a special teamer in the NFL?
Oh, sure do.
It may not feel like you were appreciated as enough as you should have been.
Fact.
But when I learned to appreciate special teams was when I had to watch the Green Bay Packers roll out a bunch of bums out there to kick field goals.
Narv Dog.
Anders Carlson. Narv Dog. Narv Pup. I'm so sick of going through that carousel of trying to find somebody. The right thing to do is to re-sign Brandon McManus. At no point, even if with the missed field goal against the Philadelphia Eagles in the wild card, misses are going to happen. But at no point after the first couple games when it felt like he was underneath him, did I get nervous when he kicked an extra point, when he kicked a field goal. I was confident. I don't want to go back to the days of having a tight sphincter sitting there being like, please go in. Please make it. Kyle, how much did you hate watching the Packers kickers kick?
It was a strong hate, I would say. Very a lot of frustration watching it.
How
unease.
Much more relieved were you when Brandon McManus was out there?
When he missed it, I was shocked.
Exactly.
I was shocked when they made it.
That should be what you strive to have in a position in which you see the value like continue to grow. It was the most 50-yard field goals in the history, 50-yard plus in the history of the NFL again. The Packers were the second-to-last team this past season to hit a 50-yard field goal because it took a little bit long to get a guy who was actually capable of doing it. Re-sign Brandon McManus. It may be boring, but it is necessary. Do you like that, Brad?
Oh, I love this one. This might be my favorite one yet.
Here's the
reality, boys. You just don't know how important something is until you figure out that it's not very easy to replace. And that includes the kicker in the NFL. You think, oh, we can just go find anybody, just fill them in there, and we're going to be okay. Well, the Packers learned the hard way. You can't just plug and play when it comes to kicker. Real games are won and lost at the foot of the kicker of the NFL. Whether you like it or not, that's the reality of the NFL. So when you kind of experience what life is like with an unreliable kicker, you never appreciate more having a steady, consistent kicker, and that's exactly what Brandon McManus is.
And I think the key thing that you just talked about there, Brad, you can't make up for the deficiencies of a kicker, of a punter, right? Like other positions, sometimes you got a linebacker that may be a weak spot. You can make up for those deficiencies because you have 10 other guys on a football field that can support, you can come together as a team. When it comes to the field goal kicker, there is one guy that everybody's looking at, and that's Brandon McManus. That's Anders Carlson. That's Braden Narveson.
Was.
When it comes to punters, same thing. If a punter shanks a punt, ain't nobody going to be pointing at the long snapper, I mean, unless it's a bad snap, or they're not going to be pointing at the protection guy. What is it called again?
Personal protector.
For personal protector, they're going to be looking at the punter. You cannot hide deficiencies
personal
of these.
Protector. They need a new name for that.
Personal protector.
Punters aren't that valuable.
They're like very valuable.
Like the Secret Service. Benny needs one of those.
And so overall, I think, Ben, you're on to this.
I can handle myself.
If the Packers are looking to have a sense of urgency, the sense of urgency is re-signing Brandon McManus, maybe finding another guy that you had bring in for competition potentially to see if he has something. So,
I mean, as you've mentioned, even if you are a veteran, and at this point in McManus's career, he had some time off, he had a good season, but I still would be in favor of bringing somebody in to challenge him, make him continue to earn the job.
For sure. You share reps, it allows him to save his leg longer, and yeah, everyone appreciates the fact that someone can go out there and earn the job as opposed to just being given the job.
Real quick on that, that's not abnormal, right? Even because I remember a couple of years Crosby had competition, even though it was kind of a surefire thing, he'd be back. Did you ever have competition in terms of like just for training camp or the preseason to save your leg a little bit?
Most years. And honestly, too, it was only my rookie
year. He was good enough, they wouldn't have brought anyone in.
Yes. Well, it was only my rookie year where it was like a true competition where I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to make the team opening day. But all the rest of them, you still brought in undrafted rookies, guys to push you, guys to share reps so you don't blow out your leg and get too tired early in the season so you can't punt in January. So there's a lot of benefits to it and just pushing guys further.
It just lights
a
little fire under you. Now, real quick, Brad, quick trivia question. Two real quicks. What do you and Brandon McManus have in common?
Oh, Brandon both played for the Jags.
You both lived in
Duval. Remember, these are wishes. These are wishes. This is Ben Bruss' wish list for the Green Bay Packers. Wish number one.
Wish number one.
Spin the block and bring back Davante Adams.
Wish number two.
Bring a pass rusher in by utilizing a first-round pick that Goody doesn't even know how to use anyway.
Wish number three.
Re-sign Brandon McManus. That is the three wishes for 3 days. Wish number four will be coming tomorrow.
You know, these wishes, this wish list that you're doing, this is the most logical you've ever sounded on air. Like, everything you say makes sense. I'm surprised.
These have all been very good takes.
Yes.
He's actually got a point there.
We're back in 2 minutes. Shocking. With the brilliant Ben Brust.
All right, too far.